Everyone. Good morning again, everyone. It's great to welcome you all to our all-age service this morning. Just to say that, as you can probably see, that we haven't got any musicians or singers this morning due to people being away and because of COVID also rearing its ugly head again. But we will still be singing. We'll be using some of the videos that you may remember that we did in lockdown. So we'll have the videos of our musicians and singers on screen, and we put the words against them so that we can stand and sing as well. Just to say too, we're so grateful to Susie and Stuart for hosting us all yesterday morning at their garden party. One of the slight problems with that is that there is a lot of cake left over. I know it's hard, but... So apparently there is coffee and tea after the service and tons of cake. So please help yourself. So we are continuing with our all-age series, which is taking us through the Lord's Prayer. And this morning we're looking at this part of the Lord's Prayer. Thank you, Mark. Sorry again. Fantastic. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Very familiar words, but hopefully it will help us as we reflect on them. So let's just commit our time together to the Lord as we pray. Father, first and foremost, we are here this morning to worship you and to give you the glory and honour that is due to your name. So would you meet us through your Spirit? Would you teach us through your word? Would you show us where we need to change? But please give us all that we need through your Holy Spirit to live as you call us to live, to stand firm in our faith, and to follow you wherever you lead us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So our first song, hopefully, will be The Splendour of the King. How great is our God? We'll have the video and the words on screen, and please stand if you're able to join us in singing.
The splendor of
we continue to lift up the name of our God, let's just bow before him in prayer. Let's pray together. And Father, we do indeed want to declare how great is our God. And we praise you, for you are great in creation. You have made an awesome world. And we just praise you and worship you that all of creation declares your glory and declares the greatness of your name. But we praise you too that you are great in redemption. And we just worship you for loving our world so much. You give your one and only Son to die on the cross for each one of us, so that through faith in him, we might enjoy salvation and eternal life. We declare indeed how great is our God, great in creation, great in salvation, great in holiness and majesty, righteousness and justice, great in compassion and goodness. How great is our God, and we gladly bow before you and worship you. In the name of Jesus, amen. So this morning we're looking at the part of the Lord's Prayer that encourages us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. And we're going to see a short video now just to open up the fact that we all face temptations. We all face temptations to say or do or think wrong things.
Busy day today. Best get up and make a start. Or I could just have 5 more minutes in bed. A brisk walk up to the shops and get my steps in. Or I could just go in the car. Blimey, that's a lot of ironing. I ought to get that done or I'll have to keep wearing this same t-shirt. Or I could just play that new Lego Lord of the Rings computer game. Lunchtime. A nice healthy salad, I think. Or I could just have a pasty instead. Those are the biscuits I bought on holiday to take into work. I must remember to take them in tomorrow. Or I could just tell them I didn't buy any biscuits. I have to think up some more scenarios for this temptation video. Or I could just... yeah.
So, or I could just, that's sometimes how it is, isn't it, with temptation, or I could just. And we all face temptations to say or do or think wrong things, don't we? We could probably make a very long list. We can be tempted to lie, to exaggerate, to be economic with the truth. We might be tempted to judge others, to gossip, maybe to become irritable, impatient, to be selfish. We might be tempted to buy loads of things we don't need, not find the time to help those who are struggling, walk by on the other side, be lazy at work. If we're younger, we might be tempted to do something that our parents told us not to do. Temptation itself is not a sin. That's always important to remember. Temptation itself is not a sin. We can all be tempted, however old or young we are. Even Jesus was tempted. And we're going to see what happened when Jesus was tempted. So we're going to turn to our Bible reading. And it's the well-known story of Jesus being tempted or tested in the wilderness. And we're going to read from Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they'll lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. And we thank God for his word to us. Now, Jesus has just been baptized. And when Jesus was baptized, you may remember that something happened. Heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And then a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And of course, if Jesus is the Son of God, then he's going to have to live as the Son of God. And the temptation narratives picture Jesus reflecting on what this means. So is he to be a miracle worker, just using his powers to meet his own needs? Maybe possibly those of other people too. So what it means to be Son of God? Is he to do spectacular but pointless miracles, the greatest showman? So what it means to be the Son of God? Is he to establish a mighty empire ruling over the whole world? Well, Jesus looked at each of those options and he rejected them as temptations of the devil. And of course, the devil is also the one who tempts us. He's the enemy of God. He's our enemy if we're following Jesus. But although he's powerful and cunning, we need to always remember two really important things. He's only a created being. He has limited power, and that power is always limited by God's control. Sometimes people seem to have this view of God and the devil slugging it out with one another, two equal but opposite forces. That is not what it's like. Power is always limited by God's control. He does have a loud voice. Temptation is one of the ways the devil tries to get us to leave God's path, to walk on his path. Of course, temptation comes from other places as well, doesn't it? The unbelieving world around us, the sinful nature within us, as well as the devil. What used to be called, if you remember these three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what we battle against every day of our lives. So you've got the world, which is the outer enemy, the unbelieving world around us. You've got the flesh, that's our inner foe, the human nature, our natural tendency to sin. And we've got the devil, of course, the stubborn adversary, the one who opposes every work of God. And temptation is sometimes hard to deal with. But if we don't give in to it, what we find is actually we grow. We grow in our Christian character. We grow in our devotion to Christ. And of course, Jesus didn't give in to the temptations he had thrown at him in the desert. And he can help us when we cry out to him for help. So when we pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," we're asking God to protect us, to keep us on his safe path when when the world, the flesh, and the devil come and try and entice us away. So we're going to celebrate God's power now. We're going to sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And we remind ourselves, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's a lovely picture, isn't it? A fortress, a tower, a rock, a hiding place. Oh, we're going. We better stand. So we're going to watch, I think we're on for another video now, is that right, Mark? Thank you. And thank you, Howard, very much. We're going to see how temptation works.
Teach me how to fish.
What, over the phone?
Well, you've got COVID, haven't you?
Well, that's very true.
I don't want to catch it, so yes, over the phone.
Well, what sort of fishing are you going to be doing?
The sort where I catch fish.
No, I mean pond fishing, net fishing, fly fishing, sea fishing.
Pond fishing.
Okay, so what are you trying to do here? Is you're trying to outwit the fish.
Outwit the fish? We are talking about the same thing, aren't we? With the things with fins and scales that live in water, the things with really small brains.
Yes, and we're also talking about you.
Rude.
You see, fishing is all about knowing what the fish's habits are. When it's resting, when it's active, when it likes to feed. You need to know its habitat. Is it a bottom feeder or a mid feeder? Does it jump for insects? Then you need to tempt it with a tasty morsel. Offer it something it loves to eat.
Whisper chocolate bars.
No, something it loves to eat, not you love to eat. So if you're fishing in a river for, say, salmon or trout, you might want to tempt it with a fly.
A fly?
But other fish, if you're pond fishing, then you might use other stuff to tempt them, like worms, maggots, leeches even. Or you can use artificial bait, like spinners. The whole point is that you offer the fish something that it will find attractive, something to tempt it. But unknown to the fish, and this is the clever bit, inside the bait there's a hook. That's how you trick the fish. You offer it something it wants, and then you catch it with the hidden hook.
Wow, that sounds like there's some sort of life lesson there. You could almost hang a sermon off the back of that.
Yes, you could. So are you more confident about going fishing now?
Nah, it sounds too much like hard work. Besides, I've found something that's better suited to my talent.
Okay. See you later. Bye.
So I hope you got the thinking behind the video as far as temptation is concerned. How does it work? It is a bit like fishing. So think about that fisherman who wants to catch a fish. So to attract that fish onto the end of his fishing hook, he's got to hide the hook in some nice tasty bait. And you saw some samples of bait in the video. Artificial bait, artificial flies, leeches, worms, nice juicy maggots, and so on. And that good fisherman knows exactly how to fish, and when to fish, and where to fish, and what kind of bait the fish likes. So in some ways, maybe we could suggest the devil is a little bit like the fisherman, and we're a bit like the fish. And the bait the devil uses is something that will tempt us to sin. It'll be different for each one of us. It might look attractive. It might look juicy. It might look good. But beneath the bait, of course, is the hook that we don't see. And temptation begins with the devil dangling some bait in front of us. Remember the bait that he dangled in front of Jesus in his temptations? Is he to be a miracle worker, using his powers to meet his own needs and those of other people too? Is he to do spectacular but pointless miracles? Is he to establish a mighty empire ruling over the whole world? For us, it can be just about anything, can't it? We can make a long, long list. Greed and lust and pride. A lot of words beginning with self. Self-pity, self-centeredness, self-righteousness, anger, gossip, lack of love, the list is endless, isn't it? And once the devil's ensured that we've seen the bait, he then wants us to take it, to give in to temptation. And one of the ways he does that is by sowing thoughts in our minds. You know, the thought that was sowed in the mind of Jesus, if you are the Son of God, that's how it all began. For us, it can be all sorts of different things, can't it? There's nothing really wrong with. Everyone does it, so why don't you? You deserve it. Just this once. You know you're going to give in, so why not just get it over with? You haven't got time. It'll cost you. It's inconvenient. God will forgive you anyway. And of course, from the first video, or you could just. And sometimes I think the way temptation works is not just a question between choosing what is right and what is wrong. Sometimes I think the temptation is whether we choose what is best when we've got alternative options to choose. Not just right and wrong, but is this best? And most of those thoughts are deceptions or lies or truth twisters. And of course, the devil is a deceiver. He is a liar. He is a truth twister. And what happens if we don't get rid of those thoughts, then they begin to grow in our hearts. If they grow in our hearts, we then act on them. And if we repeatedly give in to the temptation to sin, we end up getting well and truly hooked on it. I wonder if you remember the old rhyme. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Where does it all begin? It just begins with a few thoughts sown in our mind, doesn't it? And then it spreads to actions, habits, characters, and destinies. Of course, the wonderful good news of the gospel is that there is grace for sinners. That when we do get hooked, and we all get hooked, we all give in to temptation when we sin, in Jesus there is forgiveness. And he doesn't condemn us, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He longs to set us free. I suspect that all of us will have given in to temptation at some point in this last week. I don't know how you feel as you're sitting here this morning. Maybe you're feeling guilty. Something you said, something you've thought, something you've done. Equally, something you never got round to doing. Perhaps you're feeling slightly guilty this morning. So we're going to come to Jesus. We're going to seek his forgiveness. We're going to ask him to set us free so that we can walk closely with him once again. So let's just come before the Lord in prayer. We'll begin with just a short time of silence, and I just invite you to seek God's forgiveness and allow the Spirit to show us where we've given in to temptation. Just rest in his presence and be open to those things in our lives that he puts his finger upon. And Father, we do indeed confess that at some point during this last week, maybe even today, we have given in to temptation. We've believed the lies that the devil has sown in our minds. We've acted on those lies. We've sinned against you. But we thank you that in you there is forgiveness. We thank you that through the finished work of Christ, we are indeed forgiven. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So please forgive us our sins. Set us free from those hooks that we now find ourselves caught on. Strengthen us to say no to temptation and yes to your good and holy ways. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's sing of the cross, the wonderful way through which we are forgiven. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, cornerstone.
Nothing less.
What do we do when the devil dangles those baits of temptation in front of us? What do we do when tempting thoughts come our way, trying to persuade us to reach out and take the bait? Well, here's some quick suggestions for us. So first of all, remember that our Father God wants to give us something much better. You know, our Father longs to satisfy our needs. The main way he does that is through a close and deep relationship with him. So all of those things that the devil parades in front of us are tempting us to settle for second or third best. And we're always losers, aren't we, when we give in to temptation, when we sin. We're left feeling guilty and ashamed. We're aware of what we've done to the one who's done so much for us. So only God can truly satisfy our deepest longings. And my experience has always been that the holier I am, and I know I'm not very holy, but the holier I am, the happier I am. And you lose your joy, don't you, when you're sort of following those wrong paths and taking those wrong baits. So remember that our Father God wants to give us something much better. Realise that you are weak. A little picture for you. Probably recognise what that is. Anybody ever had the misfortune of actually standing on one? Anybody ever slipped on a banana? I knew there'd be at least one person who's slipped on a banana skin. You slip on them pretty easily when you do put your foot on them, don't you? And I think we can sometimes forget that our Heavenly Father knows best. And we slip. We give in to temptation. I think we're more likely to give in to temptation when we are hungry, when we are angry, when we are lonely, when we are stressed, and when we're tired. When was Jesus tempted in the desert? When he was hungry? When he was alone? And like us, of course, he didn't give in to temptation. Always be careful as well not to look at other people and think, well, I'd never do anything like that. You might, if you're in their shoes and their circumstances. Paul has this wise advice that I constantly remind myself of. If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. It's from 1 Corinthians 10:12. And always be careful not to put yourself in tempting situations where the temptation is going to be there to do wrong. And you know what those are in advance, don't you? So realise you're weak. Pray and ask for help. I mean, having realised we're weak, the one thing we can do when we're tempted is ask God to help us. So each day, pray for his protection. Pray for his help. Read your Bible regularly. As we've sort of seen, haven't we? I think spiritually, the mind is where the battle is won or lost. And that's why it's so important to fill your mind with Bible verses and all those wonderful promises from the Bible. You will be amazed at how often those verses come back to you, how the Holy Spirit reminds you of those verses in difficult times. And again, how did Jesus deal with the temptations that were thrown at him in the desert? By quoting the Bible verses that speak God's truth. So read your Bible regularly. refocus on something else. I think when temptation comes, one of the practical things we can do is refocus our attention, think about something else. So don't allow the evil thoughts to stay in your mind. Again, remember that little verse, a little ditty about sowing a thought and reaping something else, an action and so on. Especially turn your eyes to the Lord and his goodness. Do you remember the words of the old hymn? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. What happens then? The things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's great advice for times of temptation. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And not only the things of earth grow dim, but sometimes those temptations lessen as well. Share with other Christians. I think we've got to always remember that there's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. God's plan for our growth, for our freedom, includes other Christians. If you haven't done that already, I'd really encourage you to think about joining one of our small groups when they resume after the summer. They are a great place to support one another and encourage one another and pray for one another and build one another up. So share with other Christians. And look for the escape route. Here's a wonderful promise. We talked about the promises a few moments ago, but here's a wonderful promise for times of temptation. Again from Paul, 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. That's always helpful to remember as well. We're not unique. God is faithful. What a promise that is. He will not let the temptation be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. So there's a wonderful promise there. God will not let the temptations we face be more than we can stand. He'll provide a way of escape for us to take. So when you're tempted, look for the escape route. So seven ways to try and stand up against temptation, to resist temptation. Remember that our Father God wants to give us something much better. First and foremost, a relationship with him. Realize that you're weak. Pray and ask for help. Read your Bible regularly. Refocus on something else. Share with other Christians and look for the escape route. And if we ask for God's grace and help to do all of those things, we'll not get caught on the devil's hook and swallow that tasty bait, and we'll stay safe on God's path. So we're going to sing together another song now. We're going to sing together, Blessed Be Your Name, reminded of God's help and presence in the good times and the bad times. We'll also take up the offering as we sing. We'll have two bags going round. We'll have bags which to support the work of the church. We'll have the little pots to support the children that we sponsor. Able to sing.
Streets of an abandoned soul, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, when I'm found in the desert place, when I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your praise. Blessed be your name, when the sun is shining out on me, when the world's not a mission of me, blessed be your name.
Please be seated. And let's pray together. Father, as we offer you our gifts, we do indeed say, blessed be your glorious name. We praise you once more that you are a God of goodness and generosity. You have given us so much. And Lord, out of all that we have received from you, we gladly give back our offerings this morning. And we pray, Lord, you might take them and use them, that others too might come to know and love our Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen. So there's a picture for us there of the armour of God. And Paul writes in Ephesians 6 verse 11, put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And of course the armour of God is so important in standing up against temptation. So could just spend a short time in prayer together now. As we do so, we'll reflect on each piece of that armour and how we can use it to stand firm in our faith and resist temptation. So let's come and again seek God's face as we pray together. And so, Father, we pray that you'll help us to be prepared for any battle that we might face in these coming days. Please help us to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And as we face another week, will you help us to stand strong and help us not live in fear of the enemy? May you help us to put on the full armour of God. So we put on the belt of truth. We pray that your truth will rule in our hearts and in our minds and in our words today. And in a world where truth is indeed in very short supply, we do pray for the leaders of our nation and the nations around our world. We pray for leaders of truth and integrity and compassion and wisdom and grace. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We recognise, as we've sung, that apart from Jesus there is no righteousness. But thank you so much that through Jesus we've been born again. We've been made righteous in your sight. So we pray you'll help us to live righteous and holy lives. We put on the shoes of peace. We ask that our feet will be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We pray that we'll be firmly grounded in that wonderful good news of all that Jesus has done for us on the cross. Pray that you'll help us to reflect the good news of the gospel in our own words, in our own lives, in our own actions. Pray that through us the light and love of Jesus will shine, that others will be drawn to know you. And we know that as truth is in short supply, peace is also in short supply in our world today. Remember before you particularly the people in Gaza and the Middle East, the people in Ukraine, people in some of our own communities which have seen the riots in recent days. And Lord, we pray for peace. We want to take up the shield of faith. We pray that you'll protect us from any fiery darts or any attractive baits that the evil one sows our way. Thank you that in Jesus we have the victory. Thank you that no matter what tactics the enemy employs, you've got everything under control, for you are sovereign. We put on the helmet of salvation. Thank you again that we've been saved by grace through faith. So please protect our minds. Remind us that nothing in all creation can ever separate us from your love for us, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Take up the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. We pray that as we open your word, your Spirit will be at work within us, making open our hearts and our minds to all the wonderful truths of your word, that we might truly glorify you and enjoy you forever. May we be filled with the Spirit, devoted to your word, keeping it safe in our hearts. And finally, Lord, remind us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Help us always to be in constant communication with you. Give us that longing for Jesus, that thirst for righteousness, that hatred of sin. Help us to be alert and watchful. Help us to be joyful and thankful to you in everything. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to sing one final song as we close. And we're going to sing together My Lighthouse.
You carry me straight to shore.
And let's pray together. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So may we go from here following Jesus, the light of the world. May he lead us on the safe path in every part of our daily lives. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us for always. Amen.